This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Again, I'm Brent, and I have Sally with me, and we're talking about a number of issues around the HIV/AIDS problem and looking at some ways to manage our lives in the context of that. Today, we're going to talk about an issue as a parent, as a mother, for example, and of teenagers, of adolescents, and how do we talk to our adolescent teen children about this whole issue, and what are some guidelines that we can use to help?
Well, we mentioned last time about tattooing and about yes. piercings. I think that's often the first time it comes up in a family. Maybe a friend has a tattoo or a piercing, and our child comes home and says, "Oh, so and so's had this, and I want it," or "I think they're stupid because they had it." But it gives you an opener, gives you the opportunity to start a discussion with your child and say, "You know, that is a possible way that AIDS can be transmitted." And then once you've got that conversation going, you can say to them, you know, there are other ways that AIDS is transmitted too. And do you know what they are? Have you done about this in school? Have you learned about it? And they may well say they know all about it. But so much of the information that teenagers get from one another is misinformation. So you really want to be able to be sure that your child has the correct information and that you want to be able to give it in that situation. So as when they were younger, you were talking about blood safety. Now you want to talk about sexual safety. Now, we may assume that our teenagers are not going to be sexually active, but we need to talk to them about that. Just assuming it doesn't mean that they're going to follow our values or our expectations.
Right. I think one of my fears, or our fears as parents, particularly coming out of a particular spiritual persuasion, is that talking about it, or, you know, it's much easier to assume that if we don't talk about it, they're not going to do it. And if we talk about it, are we somehow influencing them to maybe be prepared to do it?
That's right. I think that is a false belief. I've worked in a number of countries where people think if you talk about sex, then you're a dirty person, or almost if you talk about it, then you're making it more likely to happen. I actually yeah. think it's the opposite. Hmm. By talking about it, teenagers have the opportunity to express their fears and their concerns and say, well, everybody else seems to be doing it, and am I not going to get a boyfriend if I'm not prepared to go to bed with them? And as a parent, you can say, you know, that's what television tells everybody these days, but there are an awful lot of people who wait until they get married. And you can do that. True love waits.
Yeah.
If a young boy or a young girl wants you to have sex with them, and they say they love you, and if you really love them, you'll go to bed with them, you can give them opportunity to practice an answer. No, if you really love me, you'll wait.
Yes.
Give your teenagers the phrases they can use. They need to be able to practice those phrases with you so that then when they're in a situation, they can come out with that phrase and say, you know, if you really love me, you'll wait. But at the same time, having given them the expectation that they'll wait for marriage, the expectation that they'll remain faithful, you also need to talk to them about the fact that the hormones are very powerful things. And sometimes we get in a situation where things take over, our bodies take over, and we lose control of our basic sexual functions. And before we know where we are, what was a kissing and cuddling session with a boyfriend suddenly has turned into a full-blown sexual activity. And that is something that we don't want to happen. That is something that the teenager doesn't want to happen. But they need to know how to protect themselves against pregnancy and against HIV/AIDS if that happens. And so carrying a condom in your wallet or your purse is not an invitation to have sex. It's saying, I have made a choice to wait, but if I get caught in a situation, then I'm going to protect my life.
Protect a life. That's a very important thing to bring up at this point, because I think you're addressing a very, very controversial issue in some sectors of our culture. And it's not just avoiding pregnancy like it may have been 20 or 30 years ago. This is a life and death choice too, mm-hmm. and to unintentionally make a choice that results in the potential for your death is something that we need to talk more with our children about. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we're saying that you have to do any of the things today that we've talked about, but you need to talk over this with your children. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I would feel horrible if I was dealing with the consequences of a behavior that I'd never even brought up with my child.
That's right. And often your children can be the ones that others will come to.
Yes.
My daughter has a lot of information because I work in the HIV/AIDS field. And at least one of her friends rang her up in a panic and said, please, can I talk to your mum? Or what can you tell me? Because I think I might be pregnant. Mm. So if your teenagers in school are the ones who have the information, it may be that they can help others. They can explain to others that the best way to protect yourself from HIV is to wait until you get married to have sex. They can give those messages to their friends. And they can then, by giving those messages to their friends, they can own that message for themselves. If they're the one who says to a friend, you know, the best way to protect yourself and the best way to have a good marriage is to wait, they begin to own that statement. It's me that's telling them. It's not just my mom.
Yes.
And I actually believe that. And it gives them the power themselves to make those choices for themselves also. And at the same time, if they have a condom in their wallet, they may be able to give it to a friend.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah. Well, today has been a very, very serious discussion of some very controversial topics in terms of getting at the core of what we think and believe and how we feel and act, and talking about this in the context of prevention and preparedness has put us in a whole bunch of process. But what about the issue of adult singles?
I was going to say we can prevent HIV/AIDS in our teenagers. We can talk to them about prevention, but so often we forget ourselves. And as married adults or as singles working in a culture where we maybe are traveling a lot from our family or we're away from family and loved ones, we can become very lonely and we can have made some very strong decisions to remain faithful or to remain celibate. But sometimes, again, we find ourselves lonely. We find ourselves looking for friendship. And one thing leads to another. We maybe feel that we've had a very stressful week and we'll go for a massage. One thing leads to another. And before you know it, there has been a sexual encounter. None of us are free from temptation. This is something human. It happens to all of us. And I think, again, to be aware that having a condom is not an invitation to have sex everywhere. It's simply like carrying a Band-Aid. That's not an invitation to chop your finger.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a protective mechanism, and you only use it when you chop your finger. Same as a condom. It may stay in your wallet for 10, 20, 30 years. You should replace it, actually, because they lose their effectiveness. And one thing to know is that all this talk of safe sex, condoms are not the answer. They're not the enemy. They're not the answer.
Yes.
Abstinence and faithfulness are the answer to HIV/AIDS. Condoms are a prevention, but safe sex is only safer sex. We know from the family planning industry for many, many years that a condom will break about 10 to 15% of the time. And you can become pregnant, same way you can catch HIV. So it's not the answer. It's not going to solve all the problems. But carrying one is a way that we can prevent HIV if we find ourselves in a situation that was completely unexpected.
The point that you made, I want to say it, but I think I'm going to say it wrong in conclusion. And that was you talked about safe but not safer and abstinence. Could you restate that again?
Okay. Condoms are not the enemy.
Okay.
But they're not the answer either. Abstinence and faithfulness are the answer to HIV/AIDS. They can protect you from HIV, but a condom can protect us. It's safer than nothing at all.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media, and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.